Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, it's January 2011, and that means we're inundated with best-of lists from 2010. So we've waited patiently for someone to come up with a list of the best of Notes from the Electronic Cottage from 2010, but sadly, no one has bothered to do so. Therefore, it falls to us to select a bit of the best-of from last year. What are our admittedly biased and unscientific criteria for selecting the best of? There are really only a couple. We had fun producing them, we think they're still interesting months later, and maybe a listener or two commented on these episodes. So, not to be left behind in the popular culture landscape, here is one of the judges, who are, of course, us. Here are one of the judges' selections for the best of Notes from the Electronic Cottage 2010. See if you agree. Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. It's no secret that use of the internet continues to grow dramatically. Consider the following numbers, gathered from a variety of sources. In 2009, adults in North America spent an average of over 17 hours a week doing one thing or another on the internet. Younger adults, those in their 20s, spent about 19 hours a week online. Even young people ages 2 to 11, spent 11 hours a week online on average. Internationally, one survey taken in 2008 indicated that adults between ages 18 and 55 used 30% of their leisure time online. Pretty telling numbers. And the likelihood is that those numbers have only gone up in more recent times. Well, you might say, this is just a sign that the internet is replacing television for a lot of people. You might say that, but if you did, you'd be wrong. In fact, the number of hours Americans spend watching television is growing, not diminishing. Americans spend an average of 153 hours a month in front of the tube, or over 38 hours a week. And yes, those who spend a lot of time on the internet also spend a lot of time in front of the TV, sometimes at the same time. We've all heard how we're becoming a nation of couch potatoes, and how obesity is growing at an alarming rate, especially among children. We've heard that we're becoming a nation of people who are constantly in touch via computer and cell phones, but at the same time who are spending more and more time physically alone. And we've heard endless speculation about what these trends may augur for our national health and our society. But what we haven't heard very much about is the answer to this question. What can science tell us about the actual effects that internet use is having on the way our minds work? That is a big question. And that is the central question of a book by Nicholas Carr entitled The Shallows: What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. The title, of course, gives away the conclusion. We're becoming shallow thinkers as we use the internet more and more. Yet this book is just not one more screed about the decline of culture in the age of machines, or a bewailing of the loss of our sacred values as we fritter away our lives in meaningless computer games, or in online shopping, or following the ups and downs of the celebrity du jour. Carr understands that the internet is here to stay, and recognizes the tremendous benefits it offers, but he still wonders, based on his own experience as an internet user, what effect internet use may have on our minds, and even on our physical brains. This is a book that looks at contemporary neuroscience research and what it tells us about what's happening, physically and anatomically, to the brains of people who use the internet as an important part of their daily lives. In other words, most of us. Not too long ago, science believed that we had all the brain cells we were going to have when we were born. We believed that specific parts of the brain perform specific tasks, like speaking or raising an arm, and if those sections of the brain were damaged, that was it. Those functions were lost forever. We believed, in short, that the brain was more or less a fixed mechanism that changed very little over time. With the advent of MRI technology and PET scanners and other tools that enable us to actually witness activity in the brain in real time, all of those old views of the brain have gone by the wayside over the past 20 or 30 years. Now we understand that the wiring in the brain, the actual physical connections between neurons, can and does change dramatically all through our lifespans. Activities which we do often and repetitiously cause new connections to be made, actual physical growth of dendrites, actual increases or decreases in the chemicals our brains produce to make or inhibit connections between different neurons in different parts of the brain. A moment's observation confirms what hundreds of science experiments and research papers assert. The brain can change. The military, for example, trains its pilots and tank operators and others using video games to improve hand-eye coordination and shorten reaction times. And it works by creating new neural pathways. We've all become adept at scanning web pages for just the bit of information we're looking for. In fact, the typical internet user spends an average of less than 20 seconds on a web page. As Jakob Nielsen, who's been observing internet users for over a decade, once noted, quote, "How do users read on the web? They don't," end quote. Search engines have only reinforced this tendency to jump from one thing to another and grab only the particular tidbit of information we're seeking. The date of a president's birth, the price of a new blender, the length of time it takes for a caterpillar to hatch. Hypertext links have changed the way we read. We constantly jump from here to there, often not coming back to where we started from. This is great for a certain kind of efficiency, but not so great for deep reading or reflection. Last year, for the first time, for example, less than half of Americans read even one book from start to finish. This constant distraction and constant scanning and jumping has an effect, a physical effect, one that's visible in MRI scans, on how our brains are physically changing as we constantly reinforce one kind of information seeking and finding. Sporadic scanning, jumping, looking for a tidbit of fact rather than a well-developed argument or multi-page essay. We internet users have gotten much better at this kind of intellectual work, at the expense of what Carr refers to as deep thought. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? If that's a question that occurs to you, you might want to take a look, a long, deep look, at The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, by Nicholas Carr, and decide for yourself. We'll keep on pondering that question as we keep an eye on how technology influences our everyday lives and our brains, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.